And we'll read from Rumi. Your generosity is vaster than the sea. It does not wait for tomorrow. No need to ask you for anything. Does anyone ever ask for the sun, for the light?
Touché.
Yeah, you are a little touched. Your turn.
Okay. It's always an interesting process of just beginning to talk. In meditation, it's always just so nice. Especially today, I just really went into that inner alignment and peace. And it gets so restful at times. It's just like I don't want to come out of that. But then as that movement inside kind of brings me more forward and coming more present physically, then all of a sudden I come present of that awareness of the physical expression and that movement of loving and aware of the resistances and those things that kind of are always there that get in the way. It just seems like it goes hand in hand with this physical nature, that no matter how much I do the meditation practice and continue to wake up to that movement of loving, there's always that physical element that seems to resist or hold back, that it wants the fullness of its own expression and just kind of controls or doesn't want to allow that greater movement of loving to express in and through it. But yet, inside of me, I always make the choice. This is what I want. God is what I want. God first and God only, as we hear over and over. As Jim has always said, my little teasing with him. So it's really just that daily choice, that moment choice. And so even, you know, in every moment, just continuing to move in and through all the resistances, all those elements of the physical consciousness. And one of the things that I always find value in is beginning to look even at what those elements of the physical consciousness are that would resist, that would control or hold back, that doesn't want to allow that greater expression of loving of who we are. And you know, every time I try to go into the physical element though, I get caught up, I get lost, I feel that entrapment of the mind, the imagination, the emotions, the body. So I'm always ever having to always come back to that greater movement of spirit inside. When I find that greater connection to that flow is where I find that greater ease that does move me past the resistances, past those things that seem to block that inner knowing and that inner expression into the world. And you know, one of the things that I find often, and just recently I've been looking at a little bit more, is that action of humility. I like, because I've heard somebody express humility, Hugh, the God in motion, Hugh mobility. I like to say that. So God in expression. And what it takes to really allow that expression of the God in and through all these different levels. That we always come up against these things of the mind and the body. What do we have to do inside of ourselves to allow that to take place, to allow that expression? And so I find myself in this place of where I want to share, especially here. It's like, it's almost like an expectation now, at least on myself, if not with you as well, but at least on myself of like, well, I'm expecting myself to share because here I am sitting with everybody looking at me, right? So what am I going to say? What am I going to do? And even in the meditation just now, I found that starting to take place. And I always find it in the first three chakras around the intersection or torso. The intersection? I guess so. The midsection? You know, the butterflies and all that type of thing, performance anxiety. What am I going to say and do? What do people think? What do I think? Oh my God, oh no. Now I'm looking at that, the intersection. But you know, it's funny because I find sometimes that level of expectation on myself gets in the way. And even in the meditation just now, as I could start even to feel that movement starting to bring me more present, now open the eyes and move into sharing, that even up to that moment, I was like, but nothing's present. Nothing showed up inside of what to share, of what to say, of what to do. And so I found myself at a sense of now confronting up against myself with that part of my human consciousness that thinks that it should be doing something. And so I just sat there and say, well, you know, in truth, I'm not aware of anything in the moment to really say or do. And I'm just going to really now choose to let that be okay. And let it be okay. And figure, okay, well, if there's nothing for me to share, then there's nothing for me to share. And that really is okay. Even if Jim weren't here to go ahead and share, it's easier, I'll have to say with Jim here, because I can say, well, nothing there. What do you want to share? What do you want to do? But it's really not about that. It's always turning back to that place inside of me of what's really present and honoring that inner experience of the spirit first and foremost before any of these other concerns of that physical consciousness. And so I found myself right in the last moment of meditation just now moving into a place of humility. And also I like to say with humility that goes hand in hand for me is a state of surrender, where I literally give up, turn my hands up and say, okay, God, I give up. I'm really not, I don't know what to do, there's nothing there. And so what I am aware of, though, is just this beingness, the purple light, the peacefulness. And I was just so in that peace that it was so nice not wanting to come out of that. But yet at the same time now confronting this other element. And so I really moved into an action of humility and giving up and say, well, I have nothing to share. There's nothing for me to prove or demonstrate. All I need to do and all I really truly want is that fullness and connection and beingness with that spirit inside. Just simply to be in that experience of loving is just the nicest thing. And that's all I really want. That's all I really need. And so as I moved more into just this state of surrender, then in came that word humility. And just really knowing that there's nothing to do or have to prove to anything in the world, including myself. Really, it is just to myself. And I'm beginning to discover and know that more and more. And so as I just relaxed into that, the nervousness, the butterflies, all that element, start to come into that greater alignment. Truly, I know when I give up to God now, right up to the very moment, that which I really want sometimes is held back until the full surrender takes place. And all of a sudden, when I really let it go, not just say it, but when I really do within me let go and let everything just be okay and come into acceptance of just what is, that's the moment. All of a sudden, whatever comes in expression just comes in. And it just begins to move. So right in the last moment, all of a sudden in floods a movement of loving, a movement and sharing of just that experience and even just those last few moments of meditation. I love that. But man, I begin to look at that in the simplicity of it and realize even what I do in my day-to-day life, of the things that I'd like to experience or have in my physical life, that I can talk about it, act on it, and try to move towards, but yet so many times it just doesn't seem to happen. And in that process, I often will get frustrated. But the neat thing is, when I find myself getting frustrated of the things maybe not taking place the way I would like them to, I realize that frustration is an experience I don't care for. And so when I find that, I move back into meditation, back to that place of just surrender, of just truly giving it up to God. And it's always amazing when I finally hit that place of where I really let it go inside of me, all of a sudden things even start to move into the world. I don't know, that to me seems like such an amazing thing, but yet it's so simple. And if you really look at it, it makes common sense. There's a practical knowing. I mean, how many times in your own life, in your own experiences, have you found that to be so for you? that you've come up against these things inside of you. And when you finally give it up and say, all right, that's it, Lord, I give up. And then all of a sudden it starts to take place. It comes into expression. There's that motion now where we now have gotten out of the way in our own physical consciousness to allow that greater expression of God into and through, even into the world physically. But it's all those elements within us that we come into confrontation with, that we come into a sense of resistance. But in that resistance, it calls our attention that we really begin to look and to discover what these are and what is taking place inside, so that we come to know all these different elements that make up what we call who we are. Every level, physically, imaginatively, emotionally, mentally, unconsciously, subconsciously, spiritually, soulically, all of it. I still to this day find that such an amazing process. And the more I do it, the more I look at it, the more simple it gets. How it's just a simple movement of consciousness. And in that expression, I'm always learning, always growing and discovering new parts of myself, new parts of my beingness, new parts in that expression and movement of that loving. It wasn't until recently that I could say I even knew that in a much fuller way. That the part of me that is on its own journey, the soul, waking up more and more to the greater oneness and the fullness of God inside, where I truly know who I am as one with God. This constant process of ever learning and ever growing and knowing that greater fullness, that there's always more. There's always more to do, to be, to experience. And then to find the joy of the expression, the change in my own consciousness, the change in sharing and receiving and being in all the different levels that make up the physical element as well. To know that the more I experience, the more I know that greater truth inside of myself, but the more I really see it in others, that I see that greater beingness, that I know the divine spark that we all are, and that I know more clearly all the games of the world that we all walk through, our own personality traits, our own ego drives and desires, our own actions of experience. And you know, the more I look at that and the more experience I have, the more I relax and find a quiet joy in all of expression, that even in the games and the struggle and the hardships, I find myself often now just smiling inside, even giggling and at times even laughing out loud, even at the hardships, even at death itself physically, to see the joy and the humor, in a sense, of this game of life that we're all walking. It's amazing an experience to really begin to look at life differently, one that is not so physically focused and physically based. That as I look more from the eyes of spirit, to see that greater purity and truth, to see the greater clarity, to have the understanding and the knowing of even the personality consciousness. And the way I look at it now is often like we might look at a little child or a pet that is always that childlike nature, that innocence, always curious, always looking and sniffing around to find the next new little thing to play with, the next toy, the next game, the next playmate, to go and have fun, to pee and poop. to really enjoy even the physical experience in such a childlike, natural way. To really realize the greater joy in the discovery of even this physical expression is so much more wonderful and easy from that state of being and that awakening to know the greater truth of who we are. And boy, once we have that, even though we're still aware of those parts of ourselves that still resist, that we're still tempted in the world, that we still get caught up in the world, that once we're awake, there's a part of us that knows the greater innocence and joy. And even when we find ourselves getting caught up, because we know that inside of ourselves, there's always that part that wants to return to that state of innocence and purity. And I always find that now as my guiding light, that which always brings me back and out of the world, out of my own attachments and processes by which I get caught up in. And then I find that even as a game, the process of always moving back into a state of surrender, of humility, God first and God only. To know, I like to say, that karma's like gravity. It's always pulling us down. And all I have to do is continue to focus myself and to lift myself back up by looking up inside, by looking back to that inner light and sound, back to the practice of meditation, back to chanting the names and moving and going into that sharing of loving with God. And that always brings me back. I'm always amazed. As soon as I truly sit down, close my eyes, and go inside with that as my intention, instantly I'm aware of that connection that brings me back. Maybe not fully, but all I need is a glimpse, a little bit of a touche to get touched, to grab a hold of, and then I go with it and just keep going with it as long as I can, just to keep moving more and more back into the greater fullness at any time, whether it's during your regular meditation, whenever that is, or any time of day or night. If you find yourself waking up at 2:30, 3 in the morning, guess what? Maybe God's touching you, waking you up to say, no, it's not insomnia. It's called get up. Give the time to the soul. Give your loving to God. So if you find yourself waking up in the middle of the night, go into meditation. Spend the time with God. Know that if it's that early in the morning, you've got time on the back end of that to still take a nap before you need to get up to do the day. It's not insomnia. It's spiritual awakening. So use that to your benefit. Use that time to truly awaken. If you're awake physically and you can't fall back asleep, what better to do than to go inside and wake up to the spirit within, to the God within? Use your time wisely. But really, even what is wise use of time? What is the wisdom we gain in living life? To me, the true wisdom comes from doing the meditation, doing the practice of loving, inwardly and outwardly. The wisdom comes through the experience of that movement of the divine, not through the mind element, figuring it out, not through the imagination, daydreaming of what it would be like or what it is, but through the actual actions of loving, of choosing God, choosing to meditate, choosing to be in that beingness. And that you learn through your own experience that the more you make that so, the more you do that, the more your life unfolds accordingly, even into the world, that truly all things do come into that greater alignment, that it all is an expression of God's loving. All of it, every single experience, inwardly and outwardly, is simply a movement of God's loving. Know that. Experience that. Find out for yourself. Do the meditation. Do the loving. Do the experience. Don't think about it, feel about it, daydream about it, but do it. Find out for yourself. The awakening is easy. It's all the other stuff that makes it hard. But when you really go for the ease, you'll find the grace right there, beginning to smooth out the hard parts, the struggles, the temptations and distractions. When you really do make God first and God only, that does come in and through and begin to calm, bring into alignment, brings the lessons to completion, that we fulfill the experience we've come in to have mentally, emotionally, imaginatively, and physically, that it fulfills and completes all of it, that we as soul once again are liberated and free of this realm of time and space, that we overcome gravity, that we overcome the physical element, the physical consciousness, that we wake up once again to the soul consciousness. And in that being, it's just a joyful expression, just a continuous movement of knowing, of experience, of loving, of doing. And the wisdom and the knowing come through that doing. So take time. Find that place inside. Find that point of entry into the Spirit. That point of entry into the light of your own soul. Know that the names, the sound, is the key and are the keys to open those doors, to come into your own experience. When you don't find the things working in your life the way you want them to, come back to using the keys you've been given. That includes the Hue and Anahue, the names of God in all their expression. Use those keys. They do work. But part of the challenge and part of the journey is finding the door by which you can even use the keys in. And that door is the 10th door, the spiritual eye, the seat of the soul. So when you find yourself lost in the world and inside of yourself, simply come back to that inner door, the seat of the soul, because that's where it is. And begin to use the keys and open that door inside. And see for yourself that greater journey of light and expression to come into that greater knowing, that knowing of the divine, the knowing of spirit and who you are. Fun to look around and see some people going off. I'm just really experiencing that peace and calm. Somebody even commented to me before I even started class, they said, it's so nice in here, so peaceful. I like how it's all set up and all we have to do is walk through the experience. That's really all we have to do, is walk through the experience. But how can we not? The difference is, we can walk through the experience in knowing that loving, as we walk through the experience, as we walk through. Remember, it's a journey. We call it a path. So we walk upon the path. But the path really is the experience of awakening, so that you know the journey. You know what you're walking through. That's liberation. That's awareness. That's wisdom. Is the experience and the awareness of the journey. I love it. Touché.
Well, so much happened in just such a short time. I'm not sure where to begin. While we were meditating, somebody that I know that I've worked with for a long time in this lifetime, as well as others, left his physical body finally for this lifetime. And it was interesting because I was in my meditation and I was very into my own experience when someone came and called my name, and I immediately went in that direction, and it was him. As he was leaving his body, he called my name out, and there I was called to him. And so I went over to him and I greeted him and realized at that moment that he had taken his last breath and was now on the next part of his journey. And the first thing he looked at me, he said, "Did I do it? Did I do it?" I said, "Well, what is it you want to know you did?" He said, "Did I finish all my karmas? Am I done? I said, "Let's not focus down there and on that right now. Let's go to where it is you are going to now. Let's move with the experience of the moment and not focus on the past." He says, "But I've got to know if I've done it or not. If I'm complete, then I'll be happy." I said, "Be happy. You're complete as of now. You've taken the last breath. Now let's take on the rest of the journey." So off we went. We started moving up through these different levels of different realms, up, up, up. And something I realized as we were doing this is how much we can create the illusion within ourselves that we are done with this, we are done with that, complete this, complete that, and not continue to take responsibility for our thoughts and our feelings in those areas that we think we've been completed with. So as we're moving up, all of a sudden I'm witnessing all these little entanglements that a long time ago, maybe yesterday even, he had said, "Oh, I'm done with that, I've done it, I don't have to do that again." And just left this little energy charge of the incomplete action of that experience hanging there, incomplete. And so as we're going along, all of a sudden, all these incompletes start accumulating around us as we're going up, and they begin to collect kind of underneath us. And all of a sudden, I can feel the weight of these incompletes hanging on us, like little threads, but becoming greater and greater weight as they accumulate. And as we're moving along, and we're still moving at the same pace, but you could feel the tug starting to develop, he started to look down. I said, "Don't ever look down. Don't ever look back. You keep moving forward. Just keep moving forward. Don't look back." And he says, okay, but what is that? I said, "We'll come to that when we come to that. We're not there yet. Let's go on." So we keep moving forward, but it's wonderful because the grace of the Holy Spirit, that river of loving, the current was strong. In his meditation, over his time of building the loving for God, he had really connected into that strong center current of the river of loving, that sound current. And so it was ever moving us, just moving us upward, and just a wonderful ease, a wonderful, simple, graceful movement. But there were all these little entanglements catching on to the back. And we went up to this one point, and then it slowed down. The current started slowing down, and we started slowing down, and we could feel the weight pulling. And I could feel the energy starting to pull him down. And so I said, "Okay, now will answer that question that you asked when you first left the body. Yes, you completed the majority of your karmas. But now, don't look down, but just be aware of that tug on us right now. Be aware of those things that are pulling at us, that are trying to call us back down to them. And realize that there are still things that are incomplete. There are still things that you thought were done, you were done with. I'm done with this. I'm never going to have to look at this again. I don't have to do this. Go away, go away. And now they're here for you to complete them. How do you best want to complete them? He says, well, I don't know. My God, it feels like there's still a lot of stuff there. I can feel all these different things pulling on me. What do I do? And I could feel him going into his concern. Oh, my God, I didn't do it. I'm not complete. I'm going to get stuck. I got to go back. All this stuff energetically started running. And as he started doing that, I says, oh, that's looking back. That's going backward. You're looking at all the things you thought you did, but they're not done. Now look forward. Look forward and what's ahead of you. And he said, well, that river is still here. It's still moving. And oh my God, it's still moving the way it was before. Why am I not moving with it? And I said, you've reached that place in your consciousness where the river of loving can take you up to that which you've come awake to and can be in freedom in. But now these things that you are incomplete in are weighing you down enough inside yourself, called your sense of responsibility, that it's not allowing the current to take you higher, even though it's still flowing, even though it's still just moving right around us. And if you were free of those things, the current could take you further on. So how do you want to free yourself of them? He says, well, can I take responsibility for them now? Can I handle all those things now? I said, do you really want to handle them now when you didn't handle them then? And he said, well, what do I do? How do I get this corrected then? How do I balance these things? I said, well, there's two ways you can do it. If you claim that you have to be responsible for all those things now, those little tangly webs of incompletion, you can begin to descend back down into another form. And believe me, there's another body down there waiting for you. You've created the energy enough to where another body can be taken. And in a very short time, you could be taking your first breath back into the world. He says, well, I don't want that. I don't want that. What do I do? What do I do? Quick, hurry. He's rushing. He wants to get this over with. And I said, the other thing is, give it up to God. All those things that you left incomplete, all those things that you thought you were done with, that you did a good job with, you thought, and aren't quite complete, and that are still hanging on you, give it up to God. Give it up to God right now. And he said, well, is God really going to take them? Aren't those the lessons I had to learn? I said, do you think you learned enough? And he said, I learned enough before I went into that body. Why did I have to go in that body, by the way? I said, that's going backward. Don't go backward. Don't look down. Look forward. Look towards God. That's where our focus is. That's where our intention is. That's where we're going. And I found that it was very interesting, ever keeping him present in the moment of spirit and in loving, because he kept focusing on what he had not done. He kept focusing on what had been and not on what is. So as we're talking and I keep reminding him to come present, all of a sudden he says, oh, that's what you wanted. That's what you were talking about in meditation. And I said, what? What was I talking about in meditation? You kept saying, put God first. Keep God before me in all things, and let God and the grace do that which God and the grace know how to do. And I said, that's it. So what are you going to do right now? And he said, I'm going to love God first right now. I'm going to put God first in this experience. And so he began to focus inside. He began to focus on the names of God. He began to focus on loving God. And all of a sudden, you could feel and hear the whoosh of the grace of the river of loving beginning to catch us and to begin to lift us upward. And it was really a remarkable, dynamic movement, greater than anything we had experienced before that. And he kind of stirred a little bit, and I said, focus on God. And he kept holding his intention inward and upward on God. And off we went. And all of a sudden, you could just feel the things begin to fall away, fall away, fall away. Until finally, there was just this little tug pulling. And we went up and up and up. And as we were going up, I said, what is that? What is that that you're not willing to let go of? And he said, well, when I was a child, I had a girlfriend that I really wanted to have a relationship with when I got older. I wanted to be married to her. And I never met her again. And I always intended somehow when my wife died or we got a divorce that I would meet up with her and we would be back together in a relationship. And I said, so do you want to reincarnate for that now? And he said, is that what's pulling on me? And I said, that's it. Let her go. Let her go. Let that sense of wanting, that sense of responsibility, whatever it is, let it go. And so he started calling out the name of God inside, and it got very loud inside. And all of a sudden, her name came swooshing by us, and it went forward through us, and then backward behind us, and was gone. And instantly, there was no more movement of the river of loving. Instantly, we were in the very top realm of the soul. And everything was quiet. There was nothing there except the loving, the peace, the quiet, a gentleness that is just beyond words. And he opened one eye, you know, like this, and looked over at me, and he says, is it all right if I open my eyes? And I said, yeah, go ahead. He opened his eyes, and he started looking around, and there was this radiance all around us. And the realm of soul is just the most beautiful place to witness, to see. It's beyond words. If you can imagine the most beautiful place on this earth, and realize that that's only a very poor reflection of what the realms of soul look like, then you can see how it really is impossible to put it into words. And he looked around, and he started to say something, and I stopped him. He was going to say, am I really worthy of this? And as he started to say that, because he was asking a question, he said, am I really? And I knew where he was going. I said, wait a minute, restate that. It's not a question. A question draws you out of this place. Knowing keeps you in it. And he looked at me and he says, I am worthy of this place. And I said, that's it. This is your home. This you are worthy of. This is God's gift to his child. Now will you accept it? And he said, yes, I accept my gift. And in that moment I knew he was free because he acknowledged himself as a child of God. And I knew he was free. He doesn't have to come back here. And at that time, then the Lord of the soul realm came forward and took his hand. And he turned to me and he said, job well done. One more you don't have to click gather again. And he took him from me and he took him forward. And he turned back to me and he says, well, don't you have places to be and things to do? And I said, yeah, that's true. Okay. And I came back down here and off he went with the Lord of the soul realm into higher experiences, into that process now of merging back into the oneness with God fully, to wake up into the heart of God fully, and to live there now. That's his experience. That's him returning back into the eternal with awareness. He never left the eternal moment, but now he knows that he is one in the eternal moment, and that's where he'll live forevermore.